Hello.
Quiet now. Okay, so welcome to Pedagodzilla mini episode recorded at the Playful Learning Conference 2023. I've got three guests this evening. We're on the second day and we're talking about, and I'm going to have to try my Danish again, pissedarlig undervisning or piss poor teaching. So either examples of bad teaching you've experienced or examples that you've delivered. That's what we're talking about. And we can also chat about the conference a bit as we're going, because we have a first timer here, which is great, and I'd like to get first impressions of it all. So did I introduce myself? I'm Mark Childs. Mike has disappeared and left me in charge, which is a worrying thing to do, but I think everything's going okay so far. I'll go round the table clockwise. So, Chris, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Chris Morrison. I work at the Bodleian Libraries, the University of Oxford, but I'm also part of the copyright literacy duo with Jane.
And then Jana.
Hi, yeah, I'm Jana. I'm a PhD student at Swansea University at the moment.
What was it about the conference that sort of lured you in and made you think, ah, this is something I want to go to?
So my research is obviously in playful learning, game-based learning, and it's just really hard to find people to talk to about it, in my experience at least. And I was really excited when I saw that there was a playful learning conference. So not just like the technicalities of games, but just the playful aspect.
And so you just saw it through the normal dissemination channels. It wasn't somebody saying, oh, you've got to come to this conference.
Yeah, I saw it on someone's social media. Immediately went, you have to sign up for this.
Oh, that's excellent. And how are you finding it so far?
I am really enjoying it. So this is my first conference in general as well, so I don't have many other experiences.
Oh, okay.
They're all like this. All academic conferences are like this.
You'd have to go a long way to find a conference that was at all like this. I mean, there's a few of the smaller ones. I mean, the small size helps. And there are one or two that are sort of 60, 80, maybe 90, 100 people, which have that kind of camaraderie and things. But none of them where everyone is, as Puyin said yesterday, batshit crazy. And I think that's, and where that's the norm. And you're finding that, you find that kind of general level of engagement and wearing glitter and stuff like that. Is that your jam?
Yeah, yeah. I'm more of an introverted person, so I really don't like talking to people all day and just like the networking stuff that you have to do in a lot of places. So the playful aspect of the conference makes it a lot easier, and I'm really enjoying it.
And then we have our third guest.
Hello.
It's not really guests, are you now, Chris and Jane, because you've done so many of these with us and we've done stuff with you, but there we go.
Sort of like family? Are we family?
It's kind of irritating,
annoying, can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
Sort of love them anyway.
Yeah. I think that's what it feels like now. Yeah.
So I'm Jane Secker. I'm a senior lecturer in educational development at City University. I'm super into games and learning and play and technology and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we are going to talk about examples. Do you have an example that you've thought of about a really... Well, you dry ran this for us, didn't you?
You ran it past us, didn't you? And now I have to...
So specific examples, something that really stood out, either that you've done or that you experienced as a learner.
Yeah, well, I when you asked this a while back, when you were road testing the question, I came up with an example that's actually resonated with me again here, because I remembered we were doing, this is back in secondary school, we were doing like a collage about the First World War, so it was kind of like creating something that would show a sort of First World War trenches battle scene, and I think I found myself kind of not getting involved in a group of people that were kind of doing something, and then I thought, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll kind of make an explosion that I can then like put into the scene afterwards, even though I'm not kind of involved in this thing. And I took it to my teacher and I showed it to him, and he must have thought I was taking the piss, because he just screwed it up and threw it in the bin. And I was earlier on making a campfire with everyone.
And how old were you at this?
Oh, I don't know. What, I was a teenager. Yeah.
Destroyed. You were destroyed.
I was just a bit sort of, okay, I thought that what I'd done was probably a bit shit, to be honest. Yeah. But it's like, I didn't do it to take the piss. Mm. But anyway, that for me was just like a real kind of slap in the face. And I suppose it does kind of chime with the idea of what we're trying to do here and this, you know, the idea of just doing something, even if it's a bit crap, if you're getting involved and active in doing something. So.
And what have you taken from that formative and traumatic experience from your teenage years? How have you incorporated what you've learned from that in what you do?
I'm very, very self-critical. And actually, one thing that I do is, yes, so Jane is now widening her eyes and nodding. And I just make sure that I am not like that to other people and not critical and always looking for what it is that was... Even if what they've done is a bit shit, because we all do things that are a bit shit, but like trying to find the thing in it that makes it... You're going to...
I need to find that teacher.
I need to
go after that teacher and tell them that they have mentally traumatized you.
Yeah.
They've turned you into a perfectionist.
Yeah.
They turned you into somebody who won't do something unless it's absolutely 100% perfect.
There's probably other reasons, but this could end up turning into just a therapy session.
Well, that's on the cards. We anticipated that.
All right. But yeah, otherwise he was a good teacher. I mean, there was another time when I did say something stupid and pedantic and he picked me up in my chair and lifted the chair outside and put me outside the classroom.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so it must have been before I really started piling on the weight
in my
teenage years. He was very strong.
So Jana, have you got an example of, I mean, you're a PhD student, you've just being taught still, I guess, you've some taught elements. Oh, maybe not mention anything from that we can identify anybody in particular.
I can mention something that I did as well.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure, if you're happy doing that. Sorry?
I'm a senior teaching assistant. Yeah, so I've taught a very small seminar, thankfully. There's not many witnesses to what I did. So I had some reading that I gave to the students and none of them read it.
Right.
So I just had that whole lesson prepared.
That never
around.
Happens.
all the other students just read everything.
It must have been your students. It must have been the way you told them
really
about it.
A really weird experience.
So you had the whole lesson prepared around them having
around
read the stuff.
Reading, yeah, and I wanted to discuss it with them and stuff, and I prepared questions, but they just didn't read it. So I, not knowing what to do, briefly told them what the text said, and then I went on to show them a video for... Video's very long. It's about 45 minutes or something, I think. And then I wanted to discuss this with them, but we ran out of time. So in the end, I just sent them home after watching the
video. So basically you ran a session which was watching a video for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But then you couldn't have relied on them to watch the video before they got there either. So what have you learned from that as far as how you sort of next time or you did that? Or is there stuff that you would never do? Or how have you learned from that as a way to improve your teaching?
So I think what I've learned from that is when you rely on other people to prepare something or do something, always have a backup plan of things that you can do if this doesn't work out the way you planned. And yeah, maybe try to put the timing into the lesson a bit better so you're not running out of time to discuss what you just told them or showed them.
I remember my very first teaching experience, and I was teaching media studies, and I'd prepared all this sort of stuff for a two-hour session. That was dimming it in at the deep end. And I prepared so much stuff, and I stood there, and I was nervous, and I raced through it, and I got through it all in about 10 minutes. And it's like, and all these kids looking at me, and I'm like, you know.
Any questions?
Yeah. any questions? So, no, it was...
Had you taken a breath?
I don't think I had, no. Everything was swimming and it was, I got better, but it was, I still remember that as being very, very traumatic from my very, very first exposure to it. Jane, have you got an example?
It's difficult to know which one to pick. I mean, I think one of the biggest things when you teach people about technology, every time you teach them about educational technology, it goes wrong. So... I've had multiple things going wrong. Probably one of the worst things that went wrong was when we got Zoom bombed during the pandemic. I know I've traumatised Chris again, like quite badly, Zoom bombed.
Chris is now, he's got his hands
Yeah.
His head in his hands.
No, to
I think
be
he's
honest,
on the verge of tears.
The worst part of it was...
Okay, so coming through it now.
It was just before the lunch break, and because we were running an all-day event, I'd ordered a really big lunch to be delivered to Chris and I so that we could just kind of eat this lunch and then get on with the next session.
We could reenact like being at a real conference where there's far too many sandwiches. But
yeah.
It would make it feel like, yeah, you know, you were having a... And we were going to stay there over lunch, weren't we?
We were, yeah.
So people could chat to us.
Yeah, yeah, and we were going to just sit and eat this food.
Mm.
And after this really not very pleasant experience that happened, we won't share too many, but it was graphic. It was very unpleasant.
So this is Zoom bombing is somebody that comes into the call,
yep,
who wasn't necessarily invited,
yep,
somehow gets the link.
Yep. And somehow gets the screen sharing options.
Yes.
And then somehow shares what's on their camera, which is quite explicit in an unpleasant way.
Absolutely.
They shared a video that they found on
it. Oh,
to
on
over 100 people that were there for a copyright education event. And, there had to be a whole investigation into it because it was my university's Zoom platform.
So the security issue. Yeah, so and Zoom security, I suppose,
and it
as well.
Obviously came to light that what had happened is one of the people that was helping us had actually shared the Zoom room with the code and everything, like on social media. So that's how the person had got in.
So never do that.
No.
Never tweet.
No.
That's what you
learned. It's made me traumatized. But I mean, That was awful. That was absolutely awful. But it's just something to do with when you use technology. You know, whether it's like you're going to just do some polling and then you can't get poll everywhere to work and you're meant to be showing people, leading by example. Hey, we're just going to do... This is a great little way
to get interaction. And also trying to convince people how easy it is as well.
And it's really simple. And
yeah, it can't go wrong.
Work.
Yeah.
Or there was a time where I couldn't unmute myself at all, and I was co-teaching with one of my colleagues and I just looked completely incompetent and I was just unable to unmute myself. This generally what happens in my developing digital education model is I just look ridiculous at all times when I try to use any educational technologies. But I sort of say to people, like, I'm setting the bar quite low here, like, try it, it might work, it might not, you know, and have backup plans.
Yeah,
that's the kind of other thing that's really key, I think. So we did a session once where we were meant to be team teaching, so I hadn't prepared all this stuff at all. I was just kind of relying on my colleague was going to come in and do the talking through with quite a lot of the theoretical stuff, and the session started and she was there and it was like hello, and we're doing an icebreaker thing and it was all going really well, and then she wasn't there. And so I was kind of, we always have like backups. So I'm like sending messages on WhatsApp. Hey, where are you? I can see they're not being delivered. Basically transpired that for like 3 hours where she lived, the whole of the internet had gone down. No. And I was just like on this thing where I was like, at any point she's going to return, it'll all be fine and she'll be back. And she never came back until sort of quite some hours later, where I finally got a message saying, I'm in a shopping centre. I've managed to get some like mobile data to just let you know why I disappeared out of the session. And I just had to like, you know, I was just like doing that whole thing with the PowerPoint slides where you're just like narrating what it says on the slide and feeling terrible about the fact that I hadn't prepared and I just relied on her. But
so as Jana was saying then, prepare
a
backup plan.
Yeah.
Always. Belt, braces and comedy underwear is my... So you've got the belt and braces to hold your trousers up, and if the trousers fall down, at least they've got something funny to look at.
But I think
that covers everything.
Yeah,
important.
But it is also like I probably over-prepared. When I was like new to teaching, I'd like super over-prepare and I'd have masses of stuff in notes and everywhere, and I'd be kind of... And then all I do is I just drone on and not even like pause and, you know, like learning to stop talking and wait for people to sort of, you know, or to do the kind of activities. Don't just say, has anyone got any questions? No, okay, right, let's move on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you do the kind of talk to the person next to you, you know, maybe put something in the chat.
You come up with a question or put it on the Padlet and then we'll look at what's coming appearing on the Padlet and all that sort of stuff.
So I get pained by silence in teaching as well.
Yeah.
And I have to sit there going,
it's okay. It's okay. Silence is part.
Fine. Yes.
It's part of human
nature.
Communication.
Yeah. So, is So drawing it to a more kind of general question then, what is it about the kind of playful attitude or playful learning that enables you to incorporate that sort of failure into what it is that you do? Is there something about that?
It's liberating, isn't it?
Mm.
I think it's just like, if you kind of, I don't know, making it fun, it kind of, it makes me feel more relaxed. It makes me feel less worried about things going wrong. It makes it seem suddenly like, it just becomes more active for the people involved. There's a whole load of things it does. Mm. It just, to me, it totally changes the dynamics of the, you know, I'm not the sage on the stage.
Yeah.
I'm some sort of comedy person.
Clown on the town.
Yeah. Exactly.
So Yana, I mean, are you bringing anything, feeling anything from the conference that's informing the way that you feel about those sorts of in situations? Do you think that this kind of playfulness will help in sort of informing the way that you adapt to a failure or incorporate failure?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that I will incorporate in my teaching as well, because what I've seen at this conference is that a kind of playful attitude, a loose attitude in a way, cheerful attitude can help with bringing content across to other people, and it can really help with the people receiving this to feel better about the subject that they're being taught or being told about. So this is definitely something, that attitude, playful attitude, that I want to have as a teacher more.
Cheerfulness is, that's a really interesting aspect that I don't think we've thought of, because I think after a while it becomes innate that you just have a good time, and that's encompassed here, and it's, you know, given permission to do that, and it's often locked down. You can't just get up and have a bit of a laugh. And I think that's a really interesting perspective on what's going on, is kind of cheerfulness. Sometimes you don't feel it, but as long as you can get that kind of energy going to some extent, then when things do go wrong...
Joy, isn't it?
Yeah, joy.
Joy into it. And actually, yeah. I think students seem to value you having that kind of passion, enthusiasm, joy for your subject more than they do necessarily seeing you as this...
Yeah.
The expert, the sage on the stage.
And also, if you're not giving them all the information, they do actually have to do the reading. Yeah. Because next time they're not going to have anything. Chris, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I think relating to that sort of self-censorship, overly critical part, and, you know, the tendency to kind of have that critical, not critical in a sort of critical power relationship way, but as in a sort of just being negative about stuff.
Oh, okay,
So if I think about sort of that, looking at what I've done and what others are doing, the playfulness stuff, it's kind of like, well, actually, you have to take things in the moment, and you don't judge them. You kind of work through them, and there's always something of value in anything that anyone's saying or any way that they're responding to something. And I think if you're doing a sort of information delivery style teaching where you're saying, here are some facts, and then I want you to repeat back whether you have understood it, and it's like, no, you've got that wrong, which is not a particularly helpful way. Having a game thing where in the games that Jane and I have created, there are points, so you can score points. I kind of prefer the one where actually the points, we make them up as we go along.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a little bit of
back
going and
off
forth
the rails,
and debate,
yeah.
And so you just say, well, it's an arbitrary scoring thing, and I'm going to... So you almost make a joke out of the idea that there is somebody judging and assessing you in what you're doing by pointing out that actually there are different opinions and there is subjective. Yeah. So I think that's been a helpful aspect.
So tips then, is there anything that you can sort of summarise from the conversation so far that you could pass on to listeners about tips for...
Well, I was just thinking, like, how amazing for Yana, right? Just, you know, at the early stages, doing her PhD, to come to a conference like this. And I don't know, I just kind of wish I'd learnt about this stuff earlier. Because I think it would have made me feel a lot more relaxed and I'd be a better teacher. Like, the kind of whole
and
playing...
And a better person.
And a better person, yeah. It made the whole world a better place.
Yeah,
well, yeah. But no, I just think, like, it was really liberating to find that the some of the stuff I did a bit instinctively, because when you're getting bored yourself of what you're doing, you find ways to make it a bit more engaging, a bit more fun. And, you know, obviously coming across people doing kind of games and play was suddenly like, oh, yeah. But that came to me later, you know, and certainly when I was first teaching, that wasn't, you know, I was very much in the stage, on the stage.
Yeah. Chris, tips, do you think? What one thing would you say for people to learn from all this?
I think give it a go. Because I think you don't have to be particularly playful to make a big difference to, you know, from where a lot of teaching is. And I think, you know, even for me, I've been involved in this area for a while and we're here for the second time. You are kind of going outside of your comfort zone to a certain extent if you're, and we're trying something new like we did this time round. But give it a go, because you will get something from it. And this is a great place to try out those ideas in a supportive community.
And Jana, some recommendations, particularly maybe PhD students or teaching as, you know, senior teaching assistants?
Yeah, I think especially when you're starting to do something new, something that you haven't done before, just try out things and like be confident in the fact that you're going to do this and you're going to learn from your mistakes if you make them, and you will probably make them.
But that's okay.
That's perfectly fine, because in games as well, one of the big, I think, benefit of games is that they allow failure and they allow you to do things over and over again until you get them. And I think that's something we can take away as well for our teaching or just our life in general, that it's okay to make mistakes and that you can just move on and just do it better next time.
Okay, that was a mic drop moment.
I'll
leave you on until last, because she'll have something pull out of the bag to ransel off with. That's excellent. So how can we find you online, Chris?
At C. Bowie Morrison. Okay. C-B-O-W-I-E Morrison.
As in David.
As in my uncle, William Bowie.
Oh, okay.
My great uncle.
Oh, okay, okay. Jana, are you on any of the socials?
Not anymore. I recently deleted my Twitter after what's been going on, and I haven't really set up an alternative yet.
Okay. Well, I admire that. I've tried, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. and Jane?
Yeah, you can find me still on Twitter at jsecker, but you can also find Chris and I on the copyrightliteracy.org website. Mm-hmm. We're all over.
Yeah, I was going to say internet. Anything to plug, but Copyright Waffle.
Yeah. Copyright Waffle, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I will now outro us. So I'm Mark Childs. You can find me at Mark Childs. And this is obviously Pedagodzilla and pedagodzilla.com. And I'm keeping this going until I can do the outro music. So thank you very much. That was excellent. Yay. Thank you.